60.
Yeah, would you like to?
It's close to them, it's good.
Yeah. Would you like to sing first of all, talk or?
No, you've already had some kirtan.
Yeah, I've got from the tape. But
oh, well, let's do a little live kirtan then.
Bring
the harmonium. Performance. That was meditation. You were supposed to join in it. Well, we weren't doing a show. You were supposed to be part of the party. But if you enjoyed it, that's all right. Actually, this is called the Eternal Sankirtan Party. In this material world, everybody is very interested to attend a party, isn't it? People like to party whenever they get a chance, isn't it? So why not learn the art of how to party 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and 366 days a year on leap year? This is called Krishna consciousness, the art of how to party constantly. You may say, well, how is that possible? I mean, come on, I have homework, I have job, I have duties, I got to wash the dishes. You know, so many things are there. How you can possibly party 24 hours a day? What do you think? Does it sound outrageous to be able to party 24 hours a day? Does it sound utopian to you, sir? What do you think?
Not really.
Huh?
I guess it's possible.
You think? Yes. Yes, it is possible. That's right. Because according to the Vedic wisdom, the living being, the eternal spiritual being, which is what you are. You're not your temporary material bodies, by the way. I don't know if he told you about that, but you're not your body. You see, you're an eternal spiritual being. If you think you're male or female, I got some news for you. That's just a garment you're wearing right now. You see, it's like you have the technology sweatshirt. You see. You have a New York Gantt Foundation sweatshirt. You see, you don't wear that every day, do you? No. We have many different garments you wear. So, right now you're wearing the body of a blonde-haired Helsinki woman, you see, Finnish woman. But this is just the body you're wearing right now in this particular lifetime. But actually, the eternal spirit soul has a huge wardrobe. Many different types of bodies that it wears, just like you have your wardrobe here, this cool-looking scarf, you see. That's part of you. It's not your only cool thing in your wardrobe, I'm sure, you see. So there's so many things in our wardrobe, but we have so many bodies in our wardrobe. In fact, according to the laws of nature, we have a wardrobe of 8,400,000 different types of bodies that we've worn in different situations. Did you realize you had a closet? A wardrobe closet with 8,400,000 different types of bodies in it, and you've tried them all? Can you imagine that? You've actually had at least 8,400,000 different lifetimes when you've tried out all these different bodies, you see. Now you have a human body. What's unique about this human body is you have the opportunity to actually realize your identity beyond your body. The human life has this rare opportunity that you have the opportunity to realize who you are beyond your material body. You were thinking, I'm a woman, I'm a male, I'm Finnish, I'm British, I'm American, I'm a dog, I'm a cat, I'm a horse, I'm an alligator, I'm a whale, I'm a tree, you see, I'm an armadillo. You don't know what an armadillo is, do you? In Texas, they're very popular, armadillos. So, you've had so many different types of bodies. Monkey. Can you imagine being a monkey?
I can't imagine me like a monkey.
All right. But even in this very lifetime, you've had so many different types of bodies. You had a little baby's body, you see. Then you had a little girl's body. Now you have a young woman's body. And in the future, you'll have an old woman's body. But you, the person within, remains the same, even though the body is different. You see, this is the real point to understand. That even though the body is changing, The person within is the same. You're still who you are, even though you have a little girl's body, a little baby's body, a young woman's body, a middle-aged woman's body, an old woman's body. You're still the same person. So Krishna consciousness is the science of reconnecting with who you really are, getting beyond simply the bodily conception of your identity. The result of doing that is you become full of bliss. Right now, in our present bodily consciousness, we are forced to experience whatever the body is experiencing. Sometimes the body is in a pleasant situation when we're young. Sometimes in a very unpleasant situation when we become old. We're forced to experience happiness and distress. But actually, we'd rather just be happy all the time. But any of you here prefer misery over happiness? Let's see a show of hands. Who would like misery today? Anybody would like misery? Would you like misery? Hello? Are you with us? Oh, she's deaf?
She's
blind. Oh, okay. That nice person back there in the sunglasses, you can nod your head yes or no. Would you like misery? Yes or no? If you want misery, nod your head yes. If you don't want it, shake your head no.
No.
Okay, very good. So everybody agrees. We would not like to be miserable. But yet we are forced by this material world to suffer so many miseries, like the people in New Orleans with Hurricane Katrina. You see, they're so miserable now in New Orleans. One lady was trapped in her attic for 3 days. Her mother was lying dead there in the urinated water. It was horrible. They had to pass urine in the very water in which they were living. They had no food, no drinking water, and they were trapped in the attic. Can you imagine? They wanted to commit suicide. It was so horrible. And finally, somebody came and broke through the roof and got them out before they died. They were trapped for 3 days in the attic, you see. So this material nature, it puts us in so many suffering conditions. But if you actually come beyond the material nature to the spiritual platform through chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then you will taste unlimited happiness within your heart at every minute. Doesn't matter what's happening in the external world. Whether you're young, whether you're healthy, whether you're old, whether you're sick, whether you're wealthy, whether you're poor, whether you're famous, everybody hates you. It won't matter what's happening externally if you take shelter of the holy names of God. And it could be any name. You can chant the name of Christ or Jehovah if you're a Christian. It's the same principle. We're not trying to convert anyone, you see. We are giving you the universal science of God, that if you chant and that you absorb yourselves in the names of God, then you will awaken unlimited happiness within your heart. So that's what we're doing here. It's not actually another religion. We're just teaching you the essence of what religion is, whether you're a Christian, a Hindu, a Jew. That's your choice. That's all right. You stay whatever you are, but just try to understand how to actually become connected with God. That's all we're teaching. If you're a Christian, we'll teach you how to be a better Christian. If you're a Jew, how to be a better Jew. If you're a Muslim, we'll teach you not to blow up the World Trade Center. So, you see, and become peaceful. So, we want everyone to learn how to become peaceful and happy by chanting the names of God. That's all we're up to here. So maybe some of you might have some questions. I'd be happy to try to answer them. If you have some questions. What kind of class is this?
This is just nice.
Huh? What subject?
The subject matter is like religion in Finland.
Religions. Yeah. Oh, that's very good. Did they tell you what is the meaning of the word religion? Did they ever teach you what it actually means? Probably not. The best the teachers don't really know. Religion comes from the Latin word religio.
Yeah, we learned it.
Oh, you learned that? Oh, very good. You have a good teacher. That's great. Finally, we have some good teachers out there in the school. Yeah, it comes from the Latin word religio, which means to reconnect with God. That's what it means. So religion doesn't the word religion doesn't refer to any particular type of religion. It simply refers to being connected with God. Whether you're a Christian, a Hindu, or a Jew, anyone can become religious if they connect with God through love and devotion. So that's very good. So any other questions you might have? I have to tell you, I have to warn you here now, I have a policy. I've already demonstrated it once, but if you don't ask questions of me, then I will ask questions of you. And it's much easier to be the one who asks the question than the one who is asked the question. I've already done that, so you have a little taste. So I could ask you some questions, unless you'd like to ask me. If you'd like to ask, I'd be happy to answer. Otherwise, I would go around and start asking you questions. Are you ready to be asked questions? Individually, I can choose one of you and ask you some questions about your conception of who you are and what is real, and how religion applies to it. So your choice. I'll let you all decide whether I ask you questions or you ask me questions. All right.
Also, anything connected with this, whatever.
Anything connected. Is this the teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much for bringing your students. They're nice, bright-faced students. You must be a very good teacher. Thank you so much for coming. You actually taught them the meaning of the word religion.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
That's very good. You're a very rare teacher. We need more teachers like you here in Helsinki. That's very good. I didn't realize I was criticizing the teacher in the presence of the teacher there. But actually it worked out well because I was being fair in my critique, and you passed the test. That's very good. Very good.
Can I ask you what you think about the Christianity, our religion?
Yes, we think Christianity is very nice only if people would follow it. Yeah. That's the problem. No, people don't follow Christ. They talk very big about Christ, but how many people actually live a Christ-like life? See, I was raised in a Christian church, and I knew that Christ was worthy of being followed, but I didn't see anybody who was purely following him. Not the ministers, not my parents, not anyone. I couldn't see anyone who was totally, completely following Christ with every thought, every word, and every deed. The total dedication he demanded of his disciples 2,000 years ago, I didn't see anybody on that level of dedication to Jesus. Not one soul. But I wanted to be dedicated like that. So that's why I joined the Hare Krishna movement, because here in this movement, I saw people who had that Christ-like complete dedication. It's like Tapo Divyam Prabhu here. He's totally dedicated. If you live, you spend 24 hours with him, you'll see he has no thought, no word, or no activity which is not completely dedicated to God. He's a great saintly person, you see. So that's why I got involved with this Hare Krishna people, because I saw these were the people who were like Jesus. These were the real Christian people who were really following him. That's why I'm here in the Hare Krishna movement, because I really wanted to be a true follower of Jesus, and I saw the best way to do that was to join the Hare Krishna movement. That's why I'm here. Jesus inspired me to become a Hare Krishna, actually. I was studying the Bible, trying to understand how to become a pure lover of God. And then God revealed that the Hare Krishna people could teach me how to do that. So here I am.
Can I ask you, what do you think about the message that Jesus says that we should love each other?
Absolutely.
Is that important to you?
Absolutely.
According to the...
Absolutely. If you... by loving God, automatically you will love all of his creatures. You see? If you don't love his creatures, that means you don't love him. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. Now, the trouble is, in the modern day world, we say that we love God and we love our fellow man, but we kill the cows and eat them. We don't love the cows, you see. The cows are also God's creatures. Our love is imperfect. We say we love everyone, but yet our love remains imperfect. We slaughter the cows and eat them. We kill the babies in the womb, you see. In this way, our love remains imperfect. But one who is actually the lover of God, then he automatically loves all human beings, all animals, all creatures of all varieties. He loves all of them. Unless love of God is there, your love will always remain imperfect. You may say you love everyone, but in practice you won't be able to love everyone unless you love God in actual practice. That's a fact. You won't be able to truly manifest loving feelings for all living beings unless you have reestablished your relationship with God. Love of humanity without love of God always remains imperfect. In America, there was one man, he was the president of his church. He was a Methodist. And he appeared to be a very good Christian, but he would go out in the night and he would bind people, torture them, and kill them. He was doing this for many years. He became known as BTK Killer, Bind, Torture, and Kill. And he was sending things to the media, informing them. He was very proud of getting away with this for many, many years. And finally, they caught him. He sent a CD, which they traced back to the church of which he was the president. And they caught him and put him in prison now. But actually, he was a president of a Christian church. And when he was not at church, he would go out sometimes, and for fun, he would break into people's homes, he would tie them up, and gag them, and he would torture them, and then murder them. And this was a Christian. You see? So we may claim to be a Christian. I'm not saying only Christians. I mean, there's Hindus who are the same. You know, it's true of every religion. You have people like that who claim to be a follower, but actually they're vicious killers. So my point is that just making a superficial claim to be a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu, that doesn't make you a true lover of God and all of his creatures. You have to actually awaken the real feelings of love for the Lord in your heart, and then you'll naturally love all of his creatures, the two-legged ones, the four-legged ones, and even the hundred-legged ones, like the centipede. You see, you will truly, and the fish and the birds, and you know, the winged ones, and you'll love all of God, the trees and the grass. You'll love all of God's creatures.
What do we eat then?
Yes. This question is often asked, what do you eat then? Actually, in this world, you cannot avoid killing. Because even when we inhale, we're killing microbial germs. Just for breathing, we're actually killing. Microbial germs are being slaughtered every time we inhale. It's like, you know, mass terror we're inflicting upon the microbial germs every time we inhale. I just killed thousands and millions of microbial germs, you see. So therefore, the Lord has given us a prescription in the Bhagavad Gita that if you will eat foods from the category of fruits, vegetables, dairy products and grains, and you first offer them to me with love and devotion, then I will accept and remove all the sin of eating such foodstuffs. So the Lord does not allow food from the category of meat, fish, and eggs, because those are not acceptable offerings for him. But he does accept foods from the category of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains that we offer to him with love and devotion. So that we can do. We can live very healthily and happily without having to eat our four-legged brothers and sisters and our winged and finned brothers and sisters. You see?
I have a question.
Yes. Yes. The animal, the tiger, can eat you if he wants. He's allowed by the laws of God to eat you. If you would like to be his dinner, you can volunteer. I would not like to be his dinner. But, you know, the tiger is allowed to eat you for dinner. There's no sin. Now, if a tiger is attacking, we have a right to defend ourselves. That killing is allowed. If someone is attacking you, you have the right to kill them out of self-defense. But to kill an innocent cow which is grazing in the fields, eating the grass, and not harming you in any way, providing you milk that you enjoy in the form of yogurt, in the form of ice cream, you see? You're enjoying the cow's wonderful milk. She doesn't eat food that you can even digest. She's not taking any food from you. She's eating the grass. And how you can kill your mother, the cow? She is also your mother because she gives her breast milk for you. How you can kill your mother, the cow, when she's not doing you any harm, she's giving you ice cream and yogurt and milk and cheese and cottage cheese and butter. She's giving you so many wonderful gifts with no complaints. And how you can murder her and eat her body, that is the most sinful thing, you see. So kindly, if you want to eat meat, you eat some chicken or eat some lamb or eat some fish, but do not eat cow. That we ask you, please, do not eat the cow. She is your mother. She, after you stop taking the milk from your first mother, then you take the milk from your second mother. So if you want to eat meat, kindly do not eat cow. Or if you want to eat cow, then let the cows die naturally and then you eat their flesh. But do not kill the cows and eat. We beg of you, please do not do. Please do not kill the cows and eat them. Please, please, please. Boycott McDonald's. Questions more?
Can you drink coffee or soda
or
something like that?
What was the question?
Can she drink coffee and tea and things like that?
Well, it is not so much sinful. We who are strictly following, who are priests, we do not take any caffeine because we don't need it. Caffeine is a stimulant, and we are stimulated so much by the mantra, we don't need caffeine to stay stimulated. Most people, you know, they drink a cup of coffee just to get to wake up in the morning, you know what I mean? So we don't need it. We get up and chant. And we're much more stimulated by chanting Hare Krishna than we would be by drinking a cup of coffee. And actually, the more you drink coffee, what it's doing is it's artificially stimulating your adrenal gland and wearing it out. So when you really need adrenaline, when there's some danger, your adrenal gland will not have the power to give you the adrenaline you need in a dangerous situation. So it's not so important for you right now that you have to. The main thing is stop eating the cows and chant the names of God. But by chanting the names of God, you will find that actually you become so stimulated and so inspired and alive and so full of energy. But who needs coffee? I mean, it's just a waste of time and money. You know, it gets you jittery if you drink too much of it. It's just an artificial stimulant. Why artificially stimulate yourself when you can naturally tune in to the stimulus which is there within your heart? You see, you actually have love of God within your heart. And there's unlimited energy in that loving relationship with God. So if you can stimulate that by chanting His names, you don't need any, you know, adrenaline running around your system under caffeine stimulation. It's not necessary. It's not so bad thing like eating cow, but it's not necessary actually. It's bad for the health, but spiritually, I mean, my point is, this is not, we want you to understand what are the priorities. Not that we go out and tell everyone, well, you have to give up this. No, that's not for the general public. That's for the initiates, you see. Those who are initiates, we don't take. But the most important thing is that you chant the names of God and stop eating the cow. That's the most important thing you can do right now for advancing yourself spiritually. If you want to give up drinking caffeine, that's good. But we're not making any... We're not telling you, oh, you have to give up caffeine. We're not saying that. That's for an advanced level. Those sort of things are for persons who are on an advanced level of God consciousness, not for beginners. Questions more?
I have one question. Mm. If you go back to this Krishna God, that's like your personal God. What do you think about the other gods like Shiva, Vishnu, Ganesha?
Yeah. So you're studying in your course the different gods. Yes, that's very good. If we study all of this knowledge of Krishna, Vishnu, Shiva, Ram, all this is coming from Vedas. You see, it's not something that somebody made up. It's all there in the Vedas. So if it's not what I think. It's what the Vedas say. That's what we have to understand. What does the Vedic wisdom actually say? According to the Vedas, there are two categories of living beings. There's Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva. You and I are in the category of Jiva Tattva. We are ordinary living beings. We are servants of God. There's another category that is called God Himself. That is called Vishnu Tattva. The original form of God, God is called in Vedic terminology Vishnu. The category of God is Vishnu. Now there are millions of forms of Vishnu, not just one. The original form of Vishnu has a particular name, and that name is Krishna. And then that Krishna expands another Vishnu form from himself, whose name is Balaram. And that Balaram expands another Vishnu from himself, whose name is Sankarshan. That Sankarshan extends from himself another Vishnu whose name is Narayan. And that Narayan expands from himself another Vishnu whose name is Sankarshan, who expands from himself another Vishnu whose name is Mahavishnu, who expands himself from himself another Vishnu whose name is Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who expands from himself another Vishnu whose name is Shiradakshay Vishnu, who is seated in your heart right now. So there's a whole... There's actually millions of Vishnus. Ram is also a Vishnu. Krishna is the original Vishnu. Shiva is in a special category. As I mentioned, there's people like you and me. We are called Jiva Tattva. And there's God in his many forms. That's called Vishnu Tattva. Shiva is in a special category. He's called Shiva Tattva. He's halfway in between. He's not God and he's not man. He's both God and man. He's in a special category. And then there are other many, many different gods who are also jivas like you and me, but very powerful. The god of the sun, the god of Indra, Vivishwan, the god of the sun, Indra, the god of the rain. There's millions of demigods in this material world who are all jivas, just like us here in this room, but they're very powerful jivas. Just like here in Finland, you have one very jiva who's very powerful, who's the prime minister. That's his karma, to be the prime minister or the president of Finland. So in the same way, there are living beings in the universe who their karma dictates that they get a very powerful position. And they are mentioned in the Vedas as the demigods. And they are jivas like you and me. In fact, you can also become a demigod in the future if you perform pious works in this lifetime. And you probably were a demigod in the past also, who came down to Finland after finishing up your term in the higher planets. So, but the original form of God or Vishnu is called Krishna. It's the original form. He's the origin of all the other forms. That Krishna is the origin of everything that exists. He states this directly in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse number 8. Aham sarvashya prabhava mutak sarvam pravartate. He says, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So that Krishna is indeed the origin of everything. All the Vishnus come out of him. Shiva comes out of him. You come out of him. I come out of Krishna. Everything is coming out of Krishna. Finland comes out of Krishna. Norway, Sweden, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Russia, America, the Atlantic Ocean, the Baltic Sea, the Gulf of Finland, the Melodia, everything. It all comes out of Krishna.
Isn't that the same as the Brahma?
Brahma is the chief... Lord Brahma. You talking about Brahman or Lord Brahma?
Brahman.
Brahman, yes. Brahman is just like great saintly people, they have a luster on their body, a shine, an aura. You know what I mean? An effulgence. Great saintly people, they have an aura or a shining coming out of their body. They are effulgent. So Brahman is actually described in the Vedas as the effulgence of Krishna. Brahman is the light coming out of Krishna's body. So everything is coming out of Brahman, that's a fact, but that Brahman is coming out of Krishna. This is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Brahmano, which is Brahman, Brahmano Pratishtaham. He says, I am the source of that Brahman. It states that directly in the Bhagavad Gita. So that Brahman is, it's true, it is the source of everything, but it is coming from Krishna. So ultimately the source is Krishna. Brahman is just the coming out of Krishna, and things are coming out of Brahman, that's true, but Brahman is coming out of Krishna. Krishna is called Para Brahman, the Supreme Brahman. Para, P-A-R-A, means supreme in Sanskrit. Para Brahman. So there's Brahman, which is the all-pervading oneness, you see. But then there is that Para Brahman, that is Krishna. He is the source of Brahman. Questions more? The teacher is really good. The students need to come up to the level of the teacher here. Your teacher is very good. Being a teacher is an advantage because you're first to learn the subject matter. You have to learn it so you can teach it. So he's learned a lot of the things because he has to teach them.
Voimmeko muuten ottaa niinku pienen tauon ja kävellä vähän sansua ja sitten jatkaa vai pieni?
Ihan miten, haluatte sitten olla täällä miten pitkään?
No ei kovin pitkään, mutta jos, olisi kiva jos voisimme vähän katsoa.
They would like to look around.
Okay. Yes, now, so we can finish our philosophical discussion, our question and answer session. And now, Tapo Divyam Prabhu, who is the acting in charge person now of our center, he will give you a grand tour. And we thank you all very much for your kind attention, and we hope you will come back and join us every Sunday at 4 p.m. We have a wonderful feast, and we have singing and dancing. This place takes off into the stratosphere every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. So you're welcome to come on over. It's absolutely free. And we guarantee you, you'll be a much happier person when you come out of here, so you know, than you were when you came in. If you'd like to increase your enjoyment, please come every Sunday at 4 p.m. and dive into an ocean of unlimited nectar. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.